It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
First things first, Cam references retirement. Are we seeing the last of the former MVP? Head to Indy. The red-hot Colts are riding a three-game win streak. Do we all believe in Carson Wentz now? And in L.A., despite the early struggles, Russell Westbrook says, you know what? I've been playing fine. Jenna Wolf is off today. I'm Kevin Wildes alongside the elder statesman Chris Broussard. And Nick Wright, the first question is to you. How would you describe Russ's play?
Not great. It's not great, my friend. I don't know how to describe it fine either. It's been a little tumultuous, Wilds, if we're being honest.
That's fair. Not a clutch client. You don't have to pull any punches. Staying in L.A., Nets Clippers last night.
How dare you?
James Harden show.
How dare you?
38-8-15 in the win. After the game, he was asked about his previous struggles, and he said, that's over with. Broussard, are you ready to say that Harden is officially back?
As someone that picked the Nets to win it all at the start of the season, I hope he's right. And Wilds, you tried to get me off of my spot with the Nets, but I've waited. I'm not happy with what I've seen, but I've waited. But here's what I'll say about Harden. No, I'm not ready to say he's back. I'll give it a maybe, but two games without Kevin Durant and now Kyrie Irving, since he's coming back, that doesn't tell me anything about what Harden's going to play like when they are there, particularly when KD's there. And my main problem, Nick, with Harden has been that when KD's there, he hasn't played at a superstar level. As disappointed as I've been in him, I've never really had any doubt that if he's the only star and he's going to get up 25 shots, that he can score 35 points. All right. I knew he could. I felt like he could do that even this season when he hadn't played particularly well. But the question for me is, what will he play like with Kevin Durant? Because in my view, Harden has not played like a superstar with Durant. He has been overly deferential and willing to just be a role player who's really not aggressive. He's averaging less than 15 shots a game with Durant on the floor. That's the lowest he's averaged since he left Oklahoma City 10 years ago. What I need from Harden is for him to be not the Houston Harden. Okay. We don't need that with KD, but I need him to be aggressive, be a scorer looking to get 26 points a night, looking to get guys in foul trouble and all of that with KD on the floor. So more of the Harden we've seen the last two games with Kevin Durant. Now, I'll say this, Nick, with Kyrie coming back, the playmaking, 15 shot a game, 22 points, 10 assists, 8 rebound Harden is great.
Because
Kyrie's going to give me 26.
Back and forth.
Right.
Yeah. No, it'll be seamless.
That's the question.
It'll,
can he do it?
Harden will be one way that he's been struggling with, and then a different way he's been struggling with, and then we'll see
I'm not making light.
It'll be great.
Harden is one of the best elite players all time in scoring and elite in playmaking. He's a rarity. There are very few guys you can say were all-time elite scorers and playmakers. I'll admit, it's a tough balance, but it shouldn't have been a tough balance before Kyrie got there. Just realize, I'm the second guy. They need 25 a night. Let me go get it.
Yeah. No, right as Harden seeming to get into a rhythm, we're going to add Kyrie to the equation, and I'm sure it'll go great, and Kyrie will be perfectly healthy and won't be a distraction and just be there for road games, and then we'll hear nothing else of it until the Nets hoist the trophy, or it'll be a disaster. However, whether the Kyrie part notwithstanding, We needed to see James Harden have back-to-back great games. This is the first time he's had back-to-back great games since the first round series against the Celtics last year. This is only the second time all year he's had back-to-back good games. He had a nice little two-game stretch against Orlando and Cleveland, Wild's beloved Orlando Magic, and the Cleveland Cavaliers back before Thanksgiving, where it's like, oh, Harden played well in back-to-back games. This was the first time he's played great in back-to-back games, so that is important. And I understand the caveat of, well, KD wasn't there, but that cuts both ways. Because KD wasn't there, they needed all of this from Harden. They got all of this from Harden. If they end up being the one seed, it's nights like Christmas and last night where KD's not there and Harden carries them in games that otherwise could have been losses. Now, I know, obviously, the Clippers are without Kawhi all year and PG as of late. And PG for the next month. So, right. So the Clippers are not the, you know, the full-blown team that Broussard fell in love with as he was a child. But still, that's a good win for the Nets. Here's the here's Wild's why I'm not ready to say, all the way back. Because prior to this, in December, he was 20 points on 36% prior to this two-game explosion. He was having a really rough December. Then he missed time on the COVID list. And now he's been really good the last two games. But no, two games does not give me full confidence that he has re-earned his spot on my player pyramid, which had him as a top six guy. But it is a step in the right direction. I'm just very curious, Wilds, what the addition of Kyrie is going to end up doing if Harden finally gets in a rhythm. And then in 10 days, yep. Kyrie, you know, parachutes in for half the games. That doesn't seem like a recipe to keep keep Harden in that rhythm.
Yeah, so I think you nailed the fundamental question. And Broussard, I'll throw this to you. I looked up the 2018 Warriors and who led each game in scoring because, as you mentioned, Harden doesn't show up when KD's really at his best. Harden has led the Nets in scoring 9 times, but only 5 times when KD is also on the court. The 2018 Warriors, Steph led the team in scoring for 36 games. Durant had 23 games. Klay had 16. DeMarcus Cousins actually had a game where he led the league, had led the Warriors. So the question is this. Do you think it's Durant's responsibility, Harden's responsibility, Nash's responsibility to say, hey, tonight is your night? Like, make it a really specific, tonight's your night. Get yours. Or after the first quarter, keep going. I'm going to play second fiddle. Or do you think it's just Durant's show and everyone else should be a supporting actor?
I don't think it's either. Like, James Harden is a superstar who, before this season began, was darn near close to Kevin Durant in all time and this year heading into this season. I don't think these are professional basketball players, the best in the world, some of the best to ever do it. I don't think you go to one guy and say, tonight's your night. We know KD is the number one option every single night. And the great thing about KD is that he doesn't dominate the ball. And you can do your thing, Kyrie or Harden, and just get, as long as you pass KD the ball, he's going to get you close to 30 points because he can catch and shoot and he can do it efficiently and he can do it without a ton of touches. All right, so I just need Harden to be more aggressive. And here, Nick, here's going to be the challenge with Kyrie. And I think Harden should be able to do it. But the nights when they're at home and Kyrie isn't there, I need Harden to mentally say, all right, got to be in attack mode tonight. I've got to support KD with about 26 points a game, a night. And then when Kyrie's there on the road, you, like he did it last year, he kind of bounced back. You go to being the playmaker. And if you give me 20 points and 10 assists, that's fine. Cause Kyrie's going to give me 25. So he did it little bit last year. Remember, we went from Houston to Brooklyn, immediately became the playmaker. Yes. Immediately.
Harden,
and so
seamless.
He can do it.
Harden, prior to this year, there was very little on Harden's regular season resume prior to this year that was anything other than outstanding. On the Kyrie point, and this is a whole nother conversation, If the Nets were a serious basketball team that were actually long-term planning and talking about how can we actually win a championship, Kyrie would be coming off the bench. Kyrie would be a sixth man for road games. He would carry the bench unit, and you would get as much time as possible with Harden and Durant together, because those are the only two guys that you know, injury notwithstanding, are going to be there for your biggest games of the season. And worry about Kyrie, see if he can give you some bursts off the bench. They're not going to do that, in part because you're asking Wilds, is Steve Nash going to, you know, go to KD? Steve Nash is in charge of one thing with this team. Vibes. He's got to make sure the vibes are chill and cool. Aside from that, yeah, the basketball is being left up to Kevin Durant and James Harden. And last night, James Harden took care of him.
Yeah, a quick correction. In charge of two things, vibes and drawing up the play that had Claxton basically dunking on LeBron. Hey, moving to football.
Ooh.
Carolina.
Ooh.
Remember when Cam said, I'm back. Well, since then, Panthers have lost five in a row. Cam referenced retirement. Is that actually on the horizon for the former MVP? More first things first after the break. I can just throw in.
Football's been good to me. You know, I was able to walk away, you know, unscathed. But, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm retiring, but, you know, it's had some great, you know, memories. So, you know, on the sideline, I had a moment where, you know, you look back over the years and guys who taught you, Steve Smith, Jordan Gross, Ryan Khalil, they understood what keep pounding meant. And was it ideal? No. Was it something that, you know, you had to just succumb to the philosophy at times? Yeah. But the team got the glory, you know. I don't know what the future holds, but, you know, I'm just so let down because the city of Charlotte has been good to me. You know, when I first got here, you know, there was a lot of uncertainty how long I would be here. And this second go around, it's just unfortunate because you put so much work into trying to find ways to win, and, you know, building relationships along the way. And when it doesn't happen, it's like right now, you feel empty. You feel like, damn, are you good enough?
Nick, I thought that was a fascinating post-game press conference after the Panthers lost to the Bucks. And when Cam was playing for the Patriots, if he played well and we won, he was overjoyed. But even when he played poorly, he was always looking forward. I need to get better. I have to do better. No excuses. I'll play better. This was the first time I heard Cam look backwards. And it made me think that retirement is on the horizon. How did his post-game press conferences strike you?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Wilds. I do think Cam is coming to grips with his football mortality. And the question is, what door does he want to walk through? He is no longer a starting quarterback in this league. Even the most ardent Cam Newton defenders, there is no case to be made that he is a full-time starting quarterback in this league. So that door is closed. So then he can walk out the retirement door. He can go through the backup quarterback door. I don't think that one looks very attractive to him, and I understand that. He's made a ton of money. He's one of the more famous people in the NFL. Backing up Joe Burrow in Cincinnati doesn't seem to be a ton of fun, or doesn't really fit his brand, his stature as a player. But Broussard, there is a third option. And the third option is catch on with an excellent team with a role, and that role would be short yardage back, short yardage quarterback. Essentially, once upon a time when they were smart, what the Saints were doing with Taysom Hill, have a guy who can throw, come in certain packages when most of the time he's running. Because as bad as this year has been for Cam, he still has 225 yards rushing and five touchdowns, and he's played less than half the season. He is still incredibly effective at that. And so take the team I root for, the Chiefs. I would love to have Cam on the roster in a very specific role. So if he wants one more shot at a Super Bowl, Broussard, and he wants to do it not just with a roster spot as a backup quarterback, but as a guy who's actually going to, you know, get 3 to 5 snaps a game or thereabouts, I think that door is open to him. But the starting quarterback door is closed. It has to be closed. He has had, a second chance with New England and now a third chance with Carolina. He can't play starting quarterback anymore, but it doesn't mean he has to walk away, and it doesn't mean he has to be just, you know, holding a clipboard on the sideline.
Nah, look, that's a great point. I mean, him backing up Patrick Mahomes and being basically the goal line quarterback, or Tom Brady in Tampa, if Brady stays there, like that, those sure are great positions for Cam to be in. Now, he wouldn't get in every goal line, and he'd have to understand that, but you would bring him in time and time again, or 4th and 1, 4th and 2, something like that. So, yeah, I think that's a great idea, Nick. For yesterday or Sunday with Cam's comments, this was Wilds, one of the first times I remember him, maybe the first time I remember him questioning himself. Now, after he got benched for P.J. Walker against Atlanta a few weeks ago, I mean, he'd say, I'm disappointed in myself, the way I played, things like that. But he always seemed to be confident that he was going to be able to turn it around. Yet Sunday, he seemed like, as Nick said, he was understanding, I'm really not that guy anymore. And what I picture him doing, I mean, he was rambling on about the past teammates and reminiscing and the fans and the city of Charlotte and Mecklenburg County, I think what he called it. I pictured Cam, he was sitting on that bench thinking, man, in this very stadium, with these very fans, we were 15-1 once and went to the Super Bowl. And now look at us. We're terrible. And man, in this very stadium, with these very fans, I was the best player in the NFL. I was the MVP. And man, now look at me. I'm not very good. Like, I really think he's accepted it. And Nick, to your point, this might actually help prolong his career. Because now, wherever he goes, even if the starter isn't very good, there's not going to be a clamoring for get Cam in there. You know, if the starter struggles, let's see what Cam can do. No, we know what Cam can do, and it's not much at this point. And maybe even in Cam's mind, he is now willing to accept either a backup role or what you proposed, which is this kind of Taysom Hill role. But it could help him prolong his career, Wilds, in the long run.
All right, so your dark horse MVP this year was Jameis Winston. And one of the reasons that you liked Jameis is that that did look good. It beat the Patriots.
Admit it.
One of the reasons why you liked him was he sat the whole year. And he got to learn behind Sean Payton. He got to learn behind Drew Brees. And you said, you know what? He did all this watching and learned the playbook. I think he's going to have a great year this year. And he was playing well before he got hurt. So the question for you is this, Broussard. And I know everybody wants to close the door on Cam. He went to New England late in a COVID year with no preseason and was thrown into it and did fine. He didn't do great, but he did fine. He started and he was serviceable. Had some horrible throws, but he was also, I think, still a little bit hurt. Then he sits out, goes to Carolina, and he's like, I'm back. I'm going to start. He literally was in like Ian Book territory. Like, you just because you used to wear the jersey, it's a whole new coach. The stadium's the same, but you don't know everything that we're doing. So for me, I'm not willing to totally shut the door. Can't you think, or don't you think he could go the Kurt Warner route? Go and hold a clipboard for somebody.
Oh, no.
Learn the whole system for a year and then go start. He's 32 years old. Guys are playing with, he's not going to back up 44-year-old Tom Brady. He's 32.
No. Wild. See, Cam is going to run this video of what you just said. And see, he was settling in. I'm a backup now. I'm a utility guy. I taste him. Now he's going to watch what you just said, and the light bulb's going to go off again. He's right. I'm only 32. Wilds. No, Wilds, no. Exactly. He's, look, Cam's taking too many hits. First of all, he doesn't throw
it
well enough.
His shoulder is shot.
All right. The shoulder, he doesn't throw it well enough because of the shoulder. And I think he's taking too many hits. He can't even be a, like, okay, Nick, and I want to hear what you think, but your role proposal, I think, is a good one. But he can't be a quarterback that runs a lot, like starts and runs a lot. I don't think his body could take
it. No, he can't
start.
He's
taking too many shots, and he's not the
starter. He would be involved. There would be certain games in what I'm describing where he's not used at all. But there are a lot of teams out there that don't like subjecting their quarterbacks to even quarterback sneaks. The Raiders this year have used Marcus Mariota in the exact role I'm describing, where they pull Carr off the field, Mariota comes in, it's either an RPO or just a design quarterback run, and you have more of a threat of an actual pass than if you just went wildcat with your running back. I think Cam could still be excellent at that. But Wilds, I don't care what Cam's age is. If you just go to Cam's football reference page, something happened to him, either physically, mentally, all of the above, in that Broncos Super Bowl. His first 5 years in the league, he's three-time Pro Bowler. They go to the playoffs three times. He has a 15-1 year and an MVP. That's in his first 5 years. Since then, in the 6 years since then, 7 years, I guess now, since then, went to the playoffs once, one time a winning record, no excellent seasons. We now have a larger sample of bad right. Cam years than good Cam years. It's not, so no, I don't think it's a Kurt Warner situation is at all viable or plausible. What I do think is that Cam either is going to retire or he's going to take on the role that I'm describing for an excellent team. I do not think he's going to go back up, you know, Daniel Jones in New York thinking, oh, maybe he gets benched and I come in. Yeah. That ship has sailed. Yeah. Like, you know, but those are the backup jobs you want, right? You want the job. If you still have something left, you want the backup job Ryan Tannehill got. I'll go back up Marcus Mariota in Tennessee because he's probably on his way out, and then I can take over. Cam doesn't have that left. And I've been a huge supporter of his, but I think it's either retirement or a very specific role on an excellent team. I think that's where he's at in his career.
Yeah, and the other part is the option three is become one of the top game broadcasters in the game today. I think he would immediately step in and be fantastic.
No doubt.
He'd be wonderful. Okay, we're going to leave that there. We're going to move on to Indianapolis, where according to our friends at Fox Bet, the Colts now have the fifth best odds to win the AFC, plus 800. All aboard the Wentz wagon next on First Things First.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
With Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals, you will be eating stress-free this spring. Each meal is chef-crafted, fresh, and dietitian-approved. More importantly, they are never frozen and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled up all day long. Try meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, truffle butter, and shrimp. Restaurant-quality food that you do not have to prep, cook, or clean up, delivered right to your doorstep. And if you need to change your deliveries, you can pause or reschedule whenever you like. Factor is your solution for fast and premium meals. Also, for the month of April, Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So what are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/firstthingsfirst50 and use code FIRSTTHINGSFIRST50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code FIRSTTHINGSFIRST50 at factormeals.com/firstthingsfirst50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next. Fuel up fast, eat better, and get back to what you love doing this spring with Factor.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jimmy G has a chipped bone and a torn ligament in his thumb.
Oh, shot.
Which means the rookie Trey Lance, who no one calls the baby goat, could take over for the 8-7 49ers. Broussard, should San Francisco fans be confident in their young rookie?
No! Not at all. And look, I'm fine with them moving up to draft Trey Lance and Garoppolo's on his way out. And this is why. Because he gets hurt all the time. So next year, Trey, it's on you. New era, fine. But now, if Garoppolo doesn't play, it means that their season is essentially over. Now, if they make the playoffs,
stop
I mean,
it.
They got Houston. Hold on, Houston all of a sudden isn't an easy win anymore. I mean, my goodness. And Ooh, then you got the Rams to end the season. So you might not make the playoffs. But if you do make the playoffs, Nick, you mean to tell me you got a chance against Dallas, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, the Rams, with a rookie quarterback who has played two full games in the last two calendar years.
More, though.
All right, rookie quarterbacks who play the entire season can't lead a team in the playoffs. You mean to tell me this dude just gonna step into the starting lineup all of a sudden, hadn't played most of the year, and they should have confidence? No. Here's the one good thing about it, Nick. It jump starts next season when it's Trey's show.
Yeah.
So if he plays,
it's all good.
Whether they make the playoffs or whatever,
well, they're making
he plays
the playoffs.
Now next season he starts ahead, and that'll be that.
Well, they're making the playoffs. He's going to get valuable experience. And his upside is obviously higher than Jimmy Garoppolo's. So should they have confidence? No, you can't have confidence in something you haven't seen. Should they have more optimism, though, in their season now than previously? Absolutely.
What?
You guys
how?
Heard me this a week ago after Jimmy G. How? You said
yeah, how?
It was a little Freudian slip, I think. Because we were showing these Jimmy G lowlights, and you were like, this is why they're going to Trey Lance. And then you finished the sentence, you were like, because of the injury, because Jimmy G's always hurt. But the other reason they're going to Trey Lance is because even when he's not hurt, Jimmy G is throwing those. Did you see? Watch these Titans plays. Oh, that dominant Titans defense. Well, that's terrible. What about this one here? Is this a Jimmy G pick or just one of his vintage? No, not a pick, but should have been picked. He could add five picks. This one, he's trying to do a Mahomes, except he's looking the wrong way. The ball's all wobbly. Just throws an interception. Here's the thing. I do not care that once upon a time Jimmy G was the quarterback for a team that went to the Super Bowl. That matters as much to me as Jared Goff or Nick Foles being the quarterback of a team that went to the Super Bowl. The Niners, if let me put it like this, Wilds. If you have a ticket from Box Bet, will the Niners win a single playoff game? Then that ticket is probably slightly less valuable right now because of the question surrounding Lance. But if you have a ticket from Fox Bet, will the Niners make the Super Bowl? Now that ticket has some value because of the unknown quantity of Trey Lance as opposed to the known quantity that you are drawing dead with this version of Jimmy G. So I think Niners fans should be happy this morning, Wise.
Super Bowl?
Yeah.
We talking Super Bowl?
Hey. Super Bowl. Yeah. Friendly reminder, Titans defense. Beat Patrick Mahomes 28-3. Moving on to Indy. Colts won their third straight Saturday. And though Carson Wentz's numbers didn't dazzle, Indy's owner, Jim Irsay, said that's just fine. Saying, you know, with the quarterback, you don't pay attention to the stats.
Oh, stop.
You don't pay attention to anything else. He's your leader, and he's got a lead. And today, he led us.
That Nick, sounds like you
what's your
guys.
Level of faith? I'm a quarterback's wins guy. The guy's winning. What's your level of faith in Carson Wentz? Has it reached Trey Lance levels?
No, again, you guys, don't misconstrue my Trey Lance take, and I'm not sitting here picking the Niners to go to the Super Bowl. I'm saying the upside is there. Now on this, the upside is not there. America, let me help you out. Let me help America's sports fans sound smarter than America's sports prognosticators and commenters over the next few weeks. Because here is what has happened with the Colts. The Colts were left for dead after the 0-3 start. The Colts were then slightly underrated. The Colts were then like, oh, that's a frisky, interesting team. And now they have jumped the proverbial shark and folks are sitting here trying to pretend a team quarterbacked by Carson Wentz might make the Super Bowl. You're going to have folks on TV all week and next week probably saying, oh, you know who's the most dangerous team in the AFC? The Indianapolis Colts. They're well coached. They got this great offensive line, great defensive line. DeForest Buckner, Quentin Nelson. Look at what they've done. Oh my goodness, they could have won 10 of their last 11. Don't buy it, America. The Colts are good, despite their quarterback. But the idea that Carson Wentz, who has completed one pass for 3 yards in his playoff career, is about to go on the road and win multiple playoff games is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard. Nick, are you making this all about the quarterback? I am. Carson Wentz is not winning multiple playoff games, America, which is what he would need to do just to get to the conference championship game. So no, I think the Colts are a great story. I think Jonathan Taylor's a great player. I think Frank Reich's a good to very good coach. But the idea that the Colts are some real risk to come out of the AFC is one of the craziest things I've ever heard otherwise smart football people say.
All right, Nick, look, you know I'm with you on the Chiefs. The Chiefs are coming out of the AFC. But outside of Kansas City, the Colts are the most dangerous team. All right, and that little nice little spiel you gave is not going to age well, believe you me. They've beaten San Francisco, Buffalo, New England, Arizona with Carson Wentz at quarterback. Yep, now, Frank Reich has done an excellent job managing Carson Wentz. He's only got 6 interceptions all season. I know he's not throwing for 300 yards regularly. He's done it twice all year. That's it. That's fine. They're a running team. I do believe, Nick, that Carson Wentz can ultimately get to the point where you can trust him more and you can put the game on his shoulders at times. Not this year. This year is about restoring his confidence, restoring his faith in himself that he can win and play at a high level. That's what this year is about, and Reich has been masterful at it. All right, but they are a run team. And if Wentz can manage the game, you mean to tell me you don't think they can beat New England with their run game? Jonathan Taylor went for what, 170 against New England in a win? You don't think they can beat Buffalo, which is vulnerable to the run? I think Taylor had like 185 in that game, four TDs. The Chargers are vulnerable against the run. So there are enough teams in the AFC that have trouble stopping the run, and then Wentz can just make a few good throws here or there. And they, yeah, they're dangerous in the AFC.
No, they're Believe me. I don't want this to be misconstrued, Wild. I think they could win a playoff game if they get the right matchup. But the folks are out here going to be picking the Colts to go to the AFC Championship game or beyond. And here's what's going to happen. They're going to feel all good in their smart takes, and they're going to tell us where they are in Football Outsiders DVOA, and they're going to tell us Jonathan Taylor, and then it's going to be a beautiful January Sunday afternoon. They're going to be sitting in their Barca lounger, and a cold sweat's going to hit them. They're going to say, oh, my God, I put my faith in Carson Wentz in the playoffs. Oh, my God. And Carson Wentz is going to be looking around, and he's going to do a loop-to-loop in the end zone. And guys, I'm telling you, America, it sounds good now. There is going to be a moment, Wilds, where all these Colts fans realize it's tied to Carson Wentz. Not going to work, buddy.
I get it.
Not going to work.
Okay. Why did the Chiefs lose the Super Bowl besides Tom Brady's dominance? You had a scrambled offensive line. That Indianapolis offensive line is crazy.
Yep.
His sacks, he's played more games, and he's cut down the sacks by half. New England, who was sacking everybody, couldn't get to him. He didn't throw the ball, just hand it off to Jonathan Taylor. The offensive line opens up big holes for them. So, Nick, can you change your opinion and make it less about the Colt, about Carson Wentz, and more about giving props to the offensive line? Does that make you feel better as when you're in the Barker
West? No, stop it, folks. You guys, everyone is losing their mind because they all want, listen, sometimes football's really complicated. Sometimes it's really simple. And I understand that sometimes it gets a little irritating on these shows when it's quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. And you're like, no, I want to explain why Quentin Nelson is key to everything the Colts do.
He's good.
And that sounds all fine and good until it's a cold January Sunday and you're like, I need Carson Wentz to drive 70 yards in 3.5 minutes. We're down 6. And you're going to say, oh, well, he definitely cannot do that. Never has. Can't do it. Guys,
this is all about your disdain for the run. That's what it's about.
Your disdain for the run. You don't respect the run game.
That's right.
Carson Wentz has never played in a big game. He's never played in a big game in the NFL, Broussard. That's got to matter come the playoffs, right? That'll be his first big game ever in the NFL.
Would you count that game against, was it Dallas a couple years ago to get into the playoffs? I mean, I'm not going to make a huge deal out of it. I know, I'm just saying it was somewhat of a playoff game. I'd count those D2 playoff games more.
I like that.
He had to win it. It was win or go home.
Yeah, it's like that's like Christmas Day NBA. It's kind of like playoff atmosphere. I'll meet you in the middle. Russ is not playing well, but he thinks he's playing fine. We'll discuss after the break.
See, I'm over the whole situation, what everybody else want me to do and what they think I should be doing. And I'm going to go out and just play and do what I know I do best. And that's compete my ass off, compete to better win games, make my teammates better like I've done many, many years. And I'll continue to do that, as simple as that. And honestly, I mean, I think I've been fine. I don't know what, like, the conversation's been heavily on how I'm playing and what I'm doing, but I think people are expecting me to have 15, which that is not normal. You know, everybody has to understand, like, that's not like a normal thing that people do consistently. I know I've done it for the past 5 years or so, whatever that may be, but it's not like a normal thing. So when people are saying Russ be Russ, I don't really think nobody understands what that means. I think people just say it and just be like, let's Russ be Russ. But nobody actually knows what that means but myself. And I'm going to lean on that and make sure I do what I'm supposed to do and let everything else outside of the locker room, whatever that may be, take care of itself.
Okay, two quick corrections there.
No one is expecting Russ to put up 25, 15, and 15, Broussard. And Russ also has not been posting those numbers on average for the last 5 years. He thinks he's playing fine. Second in the league in turnovers, Broussard. What was your take on Russ saying, you know what? Russ is going to be Russ. I think I'm doing fine.
This is my take, and I don't think Russ is playing as bad and as horribly as a lot of people are saying. They're putting everything on him. Some of this is on LeBron was hurt. I know they've lost since LeBron's been back. A lot of this is on Anthony Davis is hurt. And other players are hurt or old, all right? And Russ is making some bad decisions, a lot of turnovers, missing shots, things like that. So he's not blameless, but it is not all about Russell Westbrook is why the Lakers are struggling. But what I'll say is this, Waz, I took this from his little interview. He's confused. I really believe Russell Westbrook came into the LA with the Lakers willing to play defer. I got LeBron James. I got Anthony Davis. I'm going to fit in. I'm not going to come in and do what I've always done in OKC and elsewhere. And then he keeps hearing, Russ, be Russ. We want to let Russ be Russ. Russ, do your thing. Do you, man. You know, just do your, hit the open man, but do you. And he's confused. And Frank Vogel and the coaching staff, somebody needs to sit down with Russell Westbrook and explain his role, what they want for him. So he's not saying, man, I'm just tired of what everybody's asking because I'm trying to fit in, but then they're saying, be yourself. And he's confused. So tell him, Russ, we need you to push the ball in transition when it's opportunistic. We need you to move without the ball, setting screens, cutting, getting buckets in the paint. We need you in the corner for the three because you can shoot the corner three. You're not a great jump shooter, but you can shoot the corner three. Defensively, we need you to be locked in. All right? We need you to use your mind and be a great defender because he's a smart guy. They need to explain what they are looking for from him, Nick, so that he can do it because Russ has shown the willingness. All right? He went to Houston and tried to do what they wanted him to do. All right, if they tell him what they need him doing, he's got two issues. He can't shoot outside of the corner three. And this year, he's scoring a lot in the paint. Half of his shots have been taken in the paint. All right, and then he isn't a good decision maker at the end of games, doesn't recognize time and score. So we alleviate both of those by you doing what we're asking you to do off the ball and giving the ball to LeBron at the end of the game. LeBron's going to be the decision maker at the end of the game. So you take care of that, too.
Okay, but his defense has been a disaster. Just an unmitigated disaster. And I don't know that he's going to fix that. I had a slight optimism that playing for a championship caliber team, or at least what we thought the Lakers were going to be, he would focus more on the defensive end. Instead, he's just like, he's all scatterbrained. It's not lack of effort. It's lack of focus. That's first of all. Second of all, if he has not shown, aside from maybe moments in Houston, to be very effective when the ball isn't in his hands, which is why, Wilds, when the Lakers made this move, there were a lot of reasons not to like it. I'll tell you the one part of it I really did like. It's like, well, they are trying to make it so they can survive the non-LeBron minutes. With the games LeBron sits and the segments of games LeBron sits, whereas teams historically have gone in the tank except for the Miami teams. He hasn't done that. I don't know if that's coaching, Russ, or a combination. Take the game against Phoenix. Game against Phoenix. LeBron plays 34 minutes, plus minus of zero. When LeBron's on the court, they play Phoenix even a few nights ago. The 14 minutes LeBron's on the bench. Lakers outscored by 18 points. Christmas Day. LeBron plays 40 minutes. They're plus seven in the 40 minutes he plays. They are minus 16 in the 8 minutes he sits. Like, so that's what I thought Russ was going to be. Like, Russ, you go be Russ in these spurts when LeBron is resting and then find a way to be useful when you're on the court with him. Right now, they're getting neither. And it's not all on Russ, but they're getting neither, and that's a huge problem.
All right, so LeBron has been, I'll ask you, Nick, LeBron has been very publicly supporting Russ. He said, you know, it's a make-or-miss league. He's really pressing because he's at home. I have confidence in Russ. But then there's another side of the coin where we hear Russ being talked about in trade rumors. And if LeBron didn't approve of that, I feel like that would be squashed. And LeBron's body language, one of the best parts, or at least most fun parts about watching LeBron, is he'll tell you how he feels on the court. And when Russ takes a shot that he shouldn't have taken, LeBron's like, ah. Do you think that LeBron will be able to figure this out like he's figured out playing with a lot of other superstars?
Oh, I don't. Broussard, I don't know that this is fixable. And I also don't think it's as easy as pull the ripcord, right? I mean, Broussard, there is no trade. There are no, you said right. It. You can only trade him for John Wall so many times. And I don't know that John Wall, you know, immediately fixes things. So I think they have to make it work, because I think for the rest of this season, Russ, LeBron, and AD are playing together on the Lakers. I feel that way, Broussard.
Yeah, I think you're right. And they got to try to make it work. And the way to do that is to take away a lot of the decision-making from Russ and have him be a high-energy guy. And Russ needs to understand, it's just about a title, not about your individual stats. If he averages 16 points and they win the championship, it's going to enhance his legacy, Wilds.
Of course. Or a triple-double and lose.